Universality is a big word and a dangerous one. At the same time that it implies likeness, it also implies diversity. Remember Montaigne's remark that the most universal quality of man is his diversity. Now, this paradox lies at the very heart of linguistic study because at the same time that a linguist is investigating any one particular language or even a family of languages, trying to formulate a descriptive grammar, he is also searching for the underlying similarities among different languages or families of languages. At least the new linguists are. They construct these descriptive grammars by analyzing the mental processes of human speech, thus deriving sets of rules that hopefully apply to all human languages. In fact, to all possible human languages, both known and unknown. Now, that's a tall order, but a magnificent goal requiring an inspired guess, a great scientific leap of the mind. And if that goal can be attained, and the universality principle proved, it can turn out to be a timely and welcome affirmation of human brotherhood. But how do linguists go about such a task? Well, one way is by seeking out what they call substantive universals. For example, in the realm of phonology, which is our main concern in this lecture, linguists propose a substantive universal which says the following: all languages share certain phonemes in common, that is, minimal speech units that arise naturally from the physiological structure of our mouths, throats, and noses. Since we all share those features, we share likewise the sound ah, for instance, a sound produced by simply opening the mouth and vocalizing. Ah. Every normal human being can do this in any language. There is simply no exception. Even though the vowel may vary according to the shape of the oral cavity or according to one's social background, producing such variants as class and class, and class, but they are all versions of the same phoneme, a, and so must be considered universal. Now that's a substantive universal for you.